Well, if you will, take your Bible, turn to John chapter 10. I hope that you've enjoyed studying about the Lord, the Good Shepherd. And, you know, it's good for us to rekindle in our hearts our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? If you do not have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, I encourage you that today can be the day of salvation for you. If you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, we're going to begin reading in verse 22 and go through verse 42. And I do want to read responsively. So if you'll join me out loud on the even verses, and I'll read by myself on the odd verses as we go through this passage, beginning together at verse 22. And it was at Jerusalem the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, that they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. And because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe me not, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand, and went away again beyond Jordan, into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him, and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. And many believed on him there. Here we are in John chapter 10 once again. And you understand that as Jesus is going through this thing, this is toward the end of his ministry. And, you know, just in the book of John, there's just, you know, several chapters left. As Jesus is going through, this is not the first time that he's encountered these Pharisees. And I love what they say. Well, I guess I don't love it because it's wrong, but it just makes me smirk a little bit or just wonder, what were you thinking? Because they say, how long are you going to make us doubt? You know, if you're the Christ, just tell us. I have. You know, it's like. Duh. You know, I don't know what modern terms you could use. You could probably use a lot of them. But he's like, I have told you, and you won't believe me. You know, it's like, well, what more does this man have to say? He's told them over and over again. He's shown them the miracles. And listen, as they're sitting there in the synagogue. And please understand, as much as I make fun of these Pharisees, they're very smart guys, And for being very smart guys, they're really dumb. Okay? And I don't understand, because they have these scriptures. And they have things like Isaiah. And they see these foretellings of Christ and the fulfillments of Christ that are to come. And here's this man who comes on the scene. The prophet goes before him and speaking, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And John, you know, John's going through saying, behold the Lamb of God. And all these things are taking place. And they're watching very scripture unfold before their eyes, and they can't see it. And then he does all these miracles which fulfill all these prophecies. Over 400 prophecies of Christ in the Old Testament fulfilled by Jesus Christ. And they're watching prophecy after prophecy fulfilled, 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 fulfilled. And they're like, hello? Nobody's home. And then he tells them, I and my Father are one. I'm the shepherd. I'm the door. I'm the light. He says, and then they come to him and say, how long dost thou make us doubt? Boy, you guys are really dumb. And I want you to listen to the question, because here's where we get our message. We're going to take this in a couple different avenues today, but the idea is what Jesus says, ye believed not. Ye believed not. Now, do you notice that they say, how long dost thou make us to doubt? You know, from a lost person's perspective, you understand that unbelief and doubt is something we already have. Okay? We're born that way. So why would they say, how long dost thou make us doubt? Like, as if he's the one causing this. Is God the one that causes doubt? No. No, he does not. Do you understand that God does not cause doubt? The devil is the one that causes doubt. You say, how do you know that? Genesis chapter 3. Yea, hath God said. Doubt. Doubt. You know, you understand, we should never undo in doubt what we've done by faith. What is the opposite of doubt? Faith or belief, right? We believe, either we believe God or we believe not. How is it one way or the other? And why would we ever look to God and say, why causest thou us to doubt? God is not the one that causes anyone to doubt. God shows very plainly what is and what isn't. That's who God is. God is not some kind of being that's going to try to trick people. That's not what he does. God is an open book. Ta-da! He's an open book. Guess what God has gone to great lengths to make sure of? That we have his book. That we have the mind of God, that we have the knowledge of God, that we have these things of God for our benefit. He's not causing anybody to doubt. God says, here, this is my word. Here, this is the way of salvation. Here, this is the way to live. Here, this is my will. Here. We might as well get a flashing neon sign and just hang it up. This is what God wants. They say, the world says, and sometimes even us as Christians say, how long dost thou make us to doubt? That is so far off base. I don't even know what to call that. He answers them and says, I told you. And ye believed not. You understand that that's the premise for the message today. I hope you understand this. And let me first address those who may be without Christ today. You understand that in the Scriptures, in the Word of God, which are available really to anyone, the Word of God has been translated in hundreds of different languages. It's being taken all over the world. It's being distributed into unknown places, etc., etc. The Word of God's going to get out there. But can I tell you something? The Bible even tells us that even through all of that, that even with all of those things, the Bible says that they're without excuse. Just because of nature and the very structure of how God created the world speaks of God. Says they're without excuse. There's no excuse. God has not made any tribe, any nation, any people group, any individual to doubt. He wants them to know His salvation. God wishes that none should perish, but that all come to repentance. You see, God is not the bad guy here. God is not the one causing doubt. If you're lost and undone without a Savior today, He wants you. He wants you. He loves you. God gave His only begotten Son for you. That you could believe. In the fullness of time, He sent that light of life into the world that you might believe. God is not in the doubt business. He's in the belief business, in the faith business. God wants you to know. He's not trying to hide things from you. He's not trying to play this little cat and mouse game with you. He wants you to be saved. You're the one that's doubting. You're the one that's running. You're the one that won't come to the light. We need that light. And all we need to do is come and receive it. He says, He answers them plainly. He tells them plainly. He has always told them plainly. And He says, I told you and ye believed not. Over in John chapter 1, we're told this account about the light of life. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through Him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. As Jesus is dealing with these Pharisees, they come to Him and they come and say, how long dost thou make us to doubt? And He simply tells them, I'm not the one making you doubt. I told you, and ye believed not. You know, Jesus could have said to them also, you've got the Scriptures. And I'm fulfilling these Scriptures right before your very eyes, and yet you still won't believe. I mean, He does challenge them as He goes on and talks to them here, as he's speaking. He says, hey, I've done the works. What works have I done that are not of God? And the answer is none. And they admit that. They say, well, we're not going to stone you because of your works. We're going to stone you because you said you're God. Now, I want you to understand how much sense this makes. If He's accomplishing the works of God that are foretold in Scripture, then how can they say that He's not God? Because He's proving that He is. Again, they're blind. And you know what? They don't want to see. You know, there are people out there that you'll witness to, you'll talk to, you'll show them the light of Jesus Christ, and they'll just cover their eyes and say, I don't want to see it. That's one of the most heartbreaking things that you'll ever experience. I remember young in my life as an independent Baptist, I didn't grow up in this kind of church. I was saved as a boy, and I didn't really get on the right track till I was a young man in the military. But I had a chance to witness to one of my coworkers. And this young man was a troubled guy, but I was able to talk to him and build a relationship with him. And I got down to the place where I just was begging him to trust Christ as his Savior. And he just kept saying to me, I can't, I can't, I can't. And I'm like, why? You know, we had a good relationship with one another. I could just talk to him. And he said, I just can't. And I'm like, well, why? He goes, well, I just can't believe in a God who'd allow all these things to happen. All this sin and all this fall. Why would I believe in a God that will allow all these things to happen? You know, that's hard to come back and explain. But it didn't come down to I can't. It came down to I won't. Because anybody can. Anybody can come and turn to Christ. We just have to do it, right? We just have to choose to want that salvation. These Pharisees had the opportunity. And let me just take a step back and also say this. That when I say these Pharisees, some of them did believe. Some of them did come to Christ. Some of them did accept that light. Not all of them rejected him. Many rejected. Some believed. And even in verse 42 it says, and many believed on him there. You understand though that this thing of believing not is in our court. It's not God's cause. God's cause is not unbelief. God's cause is belief. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus is going around about in his ministry, and the Bible tells us that when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished. You understand that Jesus Christ was a modern attraction at this time. People came to hear him. People came to see him. People came to be healed by him. His earthly ministry was a buzz. You know, it was something to go see. They probably could have sold tickets and filled stadiums, right? Because this was, whoa. You know, they were astonished, the Bible tells us. Here he was in his own country, and he said, whence this man hath this wisdom and these mighty works? So you understand, they realized that this was astonishing wisdom. And this was astonishing works. These were astonishing works. Was, were, yeah, all that. English. Astonishing works. They were astonished. It had the wow factor. But I want you to listen to what they say. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters? Are they not all with us? Here's what they focused on. They were astonished by the works. They were astonished by his wisdom. But then they said this. Whence hath this man all these things? You know what? Who cares? Who cares how he came about them? He's got them. He is the Messiah. But they said this, and it says here in the Bible that they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. But listen to this terrible thing. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. You know why a person dies and goes to hell? It's not because God caused them to doubt. It's not because the circumstances in their life caused them to doubt. It's not because of anything else. Just like these Pharisees and these Jews said, how long dost thou make us to doubt? No. It's because of their own doubt. It's because of their own unbelief. When we have difficulties and struggles in our lives, it's not because of God. It's because of our unbelief. It's because of us. We're the ones. Why do diverse temptations come in our lives? Maybe because God's trying to give us the just rewards for what we deserve. That's one reason, right? What's another reason? Because God wants to do something in our lives, right? What's the common factor here? Me. Hey, guess what? If I don't need any work done on me, guess what I'm not going to experience? Diverse temptations. So is it his fault? No. That's why James can say, count it all joy when ye enter into diverse temptations. Because he's working on us. He's molding us. He's shaping us. He's turning our lives into what they need to be. It's according to his purpose. That's why we can say all things work together for good, for them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Because it's good. God wants to work in us. He wants to use us. He wants to shape us. God does not cause doubt. God causes faith. God causes belief. He could not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Were they astonished? Yes. Did they see the wisdom? Yes. Did they see the works? Yes. Did they see the Messiah? No. Why? Because of their unbelief. They couldn't get past that. Who is this man? We know this man. Where did he come about by doing these things? That's what they got stuck on. And it was their unbelief that caused him not to be able to do many works there. If we cannot believe who Jesus is and what he has come to do, we're without excuse. We're without excuse. Paul says in Romans chapter 1, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that doesn't doubt. It says to everyone that does what? Believeth. Why, God, why have you caused me to doubt? No, Jesus saves, folks. Jesus saves. He says to everyone that believeth, it's the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. The Pharisees, the Jews said, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Reveal it to us. Paul said, it's revealed. From faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. He says this, listen to this, look who else is revealed. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Oh yeah, the wrath of God has been revealed, folks. Well, you know what else has been revealed? So has the righteousness of God been revealed. The righteousness of God has been revealed. The wrath of God has been revealed. He says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. I love this passage of scripture that Paul writes. He's trying to help these people in Rome see that God is not hiding anything. He's not making anybody to doubt. He's saying basically what Jesus said, ye believed not. Why aren't people saved today? Because they believe not. How can they be saved? Believe. You say, it's not that simple. It's that simple. It is that simple. Paul goes on to say, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Yes. I told you, and ye believed not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. The darkness comprehended not the light. How can that change? By believing. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Listen to this testimony of these who would not believe. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. They're the ones that believe not. They're the ones that changed the truth of God into a lie. They're the ones that didn't believe. Just as Jesus said, I told you, and ye believed not. You know what our job is, as we who have believed go out into this world, and ye shall be witnesses of me. It's not our job to make them believe, everybody. It is our job just to tell them plainly about Jesus Christ, just like Jesus Christ told them plainly about himself. It's not on my conscience whether or not they believe. That's why I can go out and knock on doors in 1 week and not see anybody come to know Christ. And I can go out the next week and knock on doors and maybe not see anybody come to Christ. And I can go out the next week and knock on doors. You know why? Because it's not up to me if they believe. It is up to me if I tell them plainly or not. We just need to keep being witnesses. And some will believe and some will not. That's not on me. That's on them. But I'm to go be a witness. I'm to tell them of Christ. I'm to shine the gospel light. If they don't comprehend it, that's on them. If they don't believe it, that's on them. It's my job to tell them plainly. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you've been told. And you've been told plainly that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's what Jesus said. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All you have to do is believe. Be like Paul when he said to the people of the ship, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. His word is here. The evidences are here. You're the one that has the doubt. God has not caused the doubt. The devil has caused the doubt. The world has caused the doubt. Religion has caused the doubt. Your own flesh has caused the doubt. Just believe, and you can be saved. In Luke 22, the Bible gives us this account. As soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests, scribes came together and led them into their council, saying. Now, this is when Christ was captured. You understand? And he's been taken in just before he's crucified. This is the account of that in Luke 22. The council asked this question. Art thou the Christ? These guys are giving me a headache. How long have you all been around? How many of these meetings have you been to with Jesus Christ? How many sermons have you heard Him preach? How many people have you seen Him raise from the dead and make blind to see and halt and maim to be whole again? How many? And you're going to ask the stupid question? You say, you're an educator. You're not supposed to say there's any. No, there are stupid questions. I'm one of those blunt educators. Okay? I'm not for giving everybody a trophy. I'm for using red ink on papers. Okay? And if a kid asks a stupid question, I'm going to tell him that's a stupid question. Because there are stupid questions. This is a stupid question. Art thou the Christ? And then they say, tell us. Are these people serious? Just like these Jews here, these Pharisees, he says, they say, how long dost thou make us to doubt? He says, if thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. So they ask the question, and then they say, they give a statement and a command, but they really don't want that, do they? They said, oh, well, tell us if you are. Okay, I'll tell you I am. We don't believe you. You see what's going on here? They don't really want to know. They said, art thou the Christ? Tell us. And he said, oh, he said unto them, if I tell you. Now, Jesus is no dummy. You understand that, right? He says, if I tell you. Let me get back to my spot. I don't want to misquote the Lord. If I tell you. Ye will not believe. And he says, and if I also ask you, ye will not answer me, nor let me go. He says, I know y'all. I know what you're doing. You don't really want to know the truth. It's because of your unbelief. If I tell you, you will not believe me. And if I also ask you, he will not answer me. Hereafter, he says, shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. Then said they all, art thou then the Son of God? And he said unto them, ye say that I am. And they said, what need we any further witness? For we ourselves have heard of his own mouth. Okay. Oh, these people. But that's where we are in our world today. You know, you can hardly go to a door or talk to a person that hasn't heard of God or Jesus Christ or the Bible. Now, there have been a few times where I've been out door knocking and I've met somebody who's never set foot in a church. And I think I met one person in all the thousands of people that I've talked to that have told me that they've never opened a Bible. But all the rest, oh, I believe in God. Oh, I don't believe that. Well, okay. Can you have it both ways? Can you believe in God and then not believe what His Word says? I don't think so. It's because they believed not. Ye believed not... is a choice. Jesus exposed the Pharisees in Luke 22 for what they were. They were not going to hear. Even if he told them, they were not going to believe. And if he asked them, they weren't going to answer. He said, what am I supposed to do? I've told you plainly, and ye believed not. Maybe in your own time, you can go back through Romans chapter 11. And this talks about Israel and being the broken branches and the Gentiles being grafted in. And it's a great chapter of the Bible to look through and understand about our salvation. But let me just give you a couple of highlights because it has to do with unbelief. In Romans 11:20, the Bible says, well, because of unbelief they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. So he's saying, hey, we were grafted in because of faith. They were broken off because of unbelief. In Romans 11:23, it says, "And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in." He says, hey, they can be saved if they'll depart from their unbelief and turn to me. They can have salvation. In verse 30, it says, "For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet now have now obtained mercy through their unbelief." And then in verse 32, he says, "For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all." So what is the key thing about either salvation or not having salvation? It's unbelief. We have not because of unbelief. What do we need? Belief. We need to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. In Mark chapter 9, Jesus said unto him, this is talking about the man that had the boy, right, that would throw himself in the fires. He was possessed of the devils and all, you know, try to drown the kid and all that stuff. Remember, they couldn't cast him out. And he was talking to the Father. And the Father said, Jesus said that all things are possible to him that believeth. And it says, "And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." So you've got to believe in order to have salvation. And once we have salvation, we've got to keep believing. We need to say to God, help my unbelief. What's our natural course of life? To doubt. To doubt. Hey, let me ask you a question. Because of Jesus Christ, we have salvation, yes? He goes on and he says here, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." What causes us to flounder and falter in our Christian lives? Unbelief. It creeps in, doesn't it? Because it's the natural state. We are doubters by nature, are we not? We are. Guess what our new nature doesn't do? It doesn't doubt. I was telling somebody recently, I am so rock solid in my salvation. And this pretty much come in the last, I don't know, 15 years or so of my time in the ministry. But can I tell you something? You can't shake me. You know why? Not because I'm special. Because I just believe this book. And I believe what God says. And you can come up with all these circus acts and things and say, well, God says hear this and God says hear this. And you know what? I've just decided that I'm going to chalk that up to humans being dumb. Because I'm finite and he's infinite. I'm okay with that. And as far as human beings go, I'm actually a pretty smart guy. I know I don't act like it all the time, but I actually am. I have 2 bachelor's degrees. That's pretty good, right? I don't know if I'll ever have time to get a master's degree. I really don't care. It doesn't really matter. But I'm pretty smart. But you know what? I don't rely on my wisdom. I've learned to rely on God's wisdom. You know who's smarter than me? Probably a lot of you. But you know what else? God is. And if I don't understand something, it's not his fault. It's mine. He's not the one causing me to doubt. I am. The devil is. This whole world is. There are all these. I just need to believe. I don't need God to look at me and say, you have believed not. You're not believing. Just believe me. I want to live like Paul. Paul wasn't just some super Christian that nobody else can be like him. We can be if we'll just get to his point. I believe God. Sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. He had that testimony because he knew that God had things under control. We don't need to be a Pharisaical Christian living in unbelief. You know what God has told us? And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. Yea, and all that live in Christ Jesus, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. When you go through persecution, you don't have to say, what's wrong? You don't say, why God? You just say, oh, hey, this thing says I shall suffer persecution. Hooray! He said, you're nuts. I am nuts. I'm nuts about God. I believe God. Be of good cheer. I don't ever want God to look down from heaven and say, you believe not. I just want to believe. Every day of my life, God is good. God is love. God wants the best for me. He's given me His Son. I have salvation. I'm one of His sheep. I hear His voice. He says these things. He says, they follow me. They believe me. I'm the shepherd. I say, go here. They go here. I'm the shepherd. I say, it's time to come in. I come in. I'm the shepherd. I say, it's time to go out. I go out. I'm the shepherd. I say, don't go over there to that part where the wolf is. I don't go over there to that part where the wolf is. We think we know better than God. We do these things. We make these choices without consulting God. Or we go against clear biblical principle just because we say, I want that. I've often said this before, and I'm guilty of it myself. So let me just start there. If we really believed God, would we lie? Would we cheat? Would we steal? Would we love the world? Would we go back into the former life as a dog returns to the vomit? As a swine returns to the filth and the mire? If we really believe God, think about it. If I really believed that God could end my life whenever He chose, why would I choose to sin against Him? The reason I do is because I really don't believe God, do I? That's tough. It's a tough pill to swallow, isn't it? I want you to check up on your belief system today. Do you believe? Can Jesus look at you? Are you saying to Him, God, how long dost Thou make us to doubt? And if Thou be the Christ, and if these things are really true, just tell me plainly. He says, I have told you. Ye believed not. Do you need salvation today? Believe. Do you have salvation today? Believe. Are you deciding about your life and what to do and where to go and how to accomplish? Believe. He has told you plainly. He's shown you how He wants you to live. He's given you an example. He's given you the Word of God. He's given you the principles. Just believe. Many of them resorted unto Him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. All things that this book has spoken of Christ are true. So you know what? Believe on Him there. Just like they did. Don't let it be said of you, ye believe not. Don't let it be said of you, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. We need to have the testimony of believing God.